Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. God bless you, family. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. It is a pleasure once again to come before you and begin to delve into this word that the Master has for us. And I do pray that each and every one of you are getting something from the Spirit of God, something out of this broadcast as I begin to minister the Word of God week after week. I'm praying and believing that God is touching each and every one of your lives. I'm praying and believing that you are going to the next level, that your walk is circumspect, amen, that you're doing some inner soul searching, and most of all that you are striving to fulfill the kingdom assignment, the task that God has on each and every one of your lives. Amen. Tonight's message, I want to talk about the resurrection of Christ. We just celebrated his resurrection, and I just want to just spearhead that again tonight so that we really will begin to understand that Jesus Christ has risen, and he is seated on the right hand of the Father. And we must understand that as he got up, you too can get up. That there's no situation or circumstance that can hold you back. Amen. That you have already won and that the victory already belongs to you. And you have to understand, amen, and really get it into your spirit, most of all, that God is for you. Amen. He is for you. He wants you to win. He wants you to overcome. You are an overcomer. Amen. And not defeated or living a victim lifestyle or operating in a victim mentality. You can get up. He got up with all power in his hand. Therefore, what the power that he's delegated to you and the authority that he has delegated to you, you too have that same power. Amen. Just want to go into the announcements quickly this evening, prayer, and then get right into this word. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. Amen. And that's every Tuesday at 7 and Saturday at 10:30. Join me every Thursday at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every show that we have live at www.ctkr.org. As you're visiting our website, we do ask that you would pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. If any of you need prayer or if you need information concerning the church, or if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen for any ministerial engagements, as you're on our webpage, go to the Contact Us tab, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen? Amen. Just want to let you know that we are doing some work on our website, but nevertheless, our website is still active and it's up and going forward in the name of the Lord. So we do pray that you would bear with us while we're making our changes. Amen. Amen. Well, people of God, I also want to let you know that we do have Facebook pages. Please go to our Facebook page and like us there. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. For those of you who have liked us and follow us, God bless you. We thank you for the encouraging words. We thank you that you're telling us how the show, the ministry, is blessing your lives on a daily basis. Thank you so much, and our prayers continuously go towards you. Amen and amen. Those are our announcements this evening. Let us pray, and then let us get into the word of the Lord. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we just say thank you. We're saying thank you because you're good. We're saying thank you because you're kind. We're saying thank you because you are our protector, our healer, our deliverer, our way maker. God, we just bless your holy name. You kept us throughout the day. You kept us safe. You kept our family safe. You kept our home safe. You kept us safe on the highways. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. Now, Father, as we go forth on tonight, I'm asking that you would anoint me with the precious Holy Ghost. Anoint these lips of clay. Let them speak forth the oracles of God on tonight. Father, let them not see me, but let them see the Christ in me. Father, we just begin to lift your name up. You said in your word, if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. Father, it's about you. On today, it's about drawing people towards you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you right now for the prayer warriors. We thank you for the intercessors, God. We thank you for the fivefold ministry that has not bowed down to Baal, that is continuously standing on the rooftop, standing on the mountaintop, decreeing and declaring the word of God. Those who are continuously seeking after your face, seeking after your ways, wanting to know about truth and righteousness in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now that you would just begin to touch the minds of your people, that we would begin to have the mind of Christ in everything that we do in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you would begin to put prayer upon your men, excuse me, and your women of God. Begin to put prayer upon their hearts again. Give them a desire to seek after you, to seek after holiness and righteousness, God, to live the kingdom lifestyle, Father, in front of all men, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we just begin to give your name praise, glory, and honor. Father, I'm asking that you will remove the scales off of our eyes, that you will unstop spiritual deaf ears on today. Father, I'm asking that you will breathe upon your people a fresh wind, a fresh anointing. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen again. Hallelujah. Right, wherever you are, people of God, just put your hands together and just begin to give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. And while you're doing that, just open up your mouth and tell him thank you. Just give him the fruit of your lips. Just tell him how worthy he is, how grateful you are unto him. Glory to God. Glory to God. How you couldn't make it without him, how you couldn't overcome without him. Amen. Just tell him how marvelous and excellent he is. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. People of God, as I was talking at the opening of this broadcast, I want to talk about resurrection. We just got finished. The Church of the Most High God, the Ecclesia, has just finished celebrating, amen, Resurrection Day. I didn't say Easter. I said Resurrection Day. We all know that Easter is a pagan holiday and so on and so forth. But we're not here to talk about the eggs. We're not here to talk about the bunny. We're not here to talk about the candy and, you know, all the kids dressed up in their little cute little outfits and the pastels and the paisley colors and all of that. We're not here to talk about who came and the hairdos and the nails being done. We're here to talk about the risen Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died on the cross for you and I so that we might live, amen, so that we might accept him and begin to live the lifestyle that he has already predestined us to live, amen. We're talking about the risen King of Kings, amen, the Lord of Lords. If you will, please turn with me to the book of John chapter 20. We're going to start at the first verse and do a lot of reading on tonight. But I definitely want to bring out some powerful points that the Holy Spirit is choosing to show on this evening. The book of John chapter 20, reading at the first verse. I'm reading tonight out of the New King James Version. Amen. Book of John chapter 20, and the first verse reads as such. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. I'm going to stop there because the word of the Lord is blessed. Now here we have, it's very interesting that we already know that Jesus went to the cross, he died, and in those 3 days he rose. And the interesting thing about this whole passage of scripture is that during the four gospels, the synoptic gospels, Jesus kept telling them and foretelling his death to his disciples. He kept telling them that in 3 days I will rise again. In 3 days, tear this building down and this building will be rebuilt back up. And all the while he was talking, let's face it, they really didn't believe him. And it's very interesting because how many times, people of God, has the Spirit of the Lord spoken to you about something? Has told you something that he was going to do in your life? Has sent word, divine messages through Facebook or divine messages through your leadership, sometimes right through, as we're watching television, God will send a word through our word that we read, dreams, visions, prophetic word. God said he's going to do something miraculous in our lives. And he continuously tells us that, amen, because the Bible says that once he sends forth his word, it cannot return unto him void. And God continuously sends confirmation after confirmation. But for some reason, we really don't truly believe in what he says. Maybe in the beginning when that word was first spoken, we took a hold of it and we held on to it for dear life. But then as tests and trials and time, T-I-M-E, has gone forth, our faith began to waver. Our belief began to waver. Our trust has begun to waver. So much so that even now when we will still hear what he has to say, or when he brings the word back up again and says, "Do not forget, I have spoken this thing," and we sit there and we shake our head and say, "Yes, Lord," but somewhere deep down inside, we really don't believe that God is going to do what he said. And here we have Mary Magdalene, who went to the tomb. She's like, "I've seen him die, and I'm getting ready to go here because, you know, proper burial tactics. And, you know, I know he said he was going to rise again, but, you know, it sounds good, but I'm going anyway." He had a good run. He had a good run while he was here. And I believe he changed my life. Yes, he brought some things to me, and I realize I'm not the same. But this right here, this right here, he's gone. And, you know, he's impacted my life. And as we say, you know, he'll always be in my heart. And here it is. We have Mary Magdalene going to the tomb while it's still night. And realizing that as she came up, she already had in her mind that what she was getting ready to do, she was going to prep the body. And here we have, she said, soon as she arrived, she saw, verse 1, sea clause, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She saw that the stone, the blockage, she saw that the obstacle had been removed. And it's very interesting, people of God, because that part right there, the stone had been taken away. So often it reminds me of how some people, or even I'll just be a little transparent, we have all been dealing with or have dealt with issues in our lives that were like stones. In other words, it wasn't something that was immediate. You were dealing with some struggles. You were dealing with some circumstances. Amen. And you prayed about it. You fasted about it. You shouted over it. You rolled on the floor. You spoke in tongues. You rebuked. You bind. You did all what you were supposed to do. You loosed. And yet it still seems like the stone has still remained. But then one day, as you're going forth in faith, all of a sudden victory comes, deliverance comes out of the blue. The stone has been rolled away. The obstacle has been rolled away. It's been removed off or out of your life. And what's so interesting is that when Mary saw that the stone had been removed away from the tomb, it said that she ran, verse 2, and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Again, her mind still was not on resurrection. How often has God removed obstacles? How often has God removed chains or opened prison doors, or pulled you out of dark places, or removed the stone from your cave, your dark place? And yet we still will come to the edge of the cave, we'll come to the edge of the cell, we'll come to the edge right where the light is. All we have to do is just step one foot over and we're walking in full deliverance. But we'll sit there and we'll look out amongst where the freedom is, where everything is going well, and we see the light of day and we see fresh air come and we see a release happening, and we'll come right to the edge, but we won't cross over. We still have that tomb mentality. I know I'm free. I think I'm free. I see freedom right here. I could put my hand out here, but you know what? I've gotten comfortable in this place. And so at times when God begins to bring resurrection, or when he begins to resurrect some things in our lives, it can and it will at times be uncomfortable for you. And because we are creatures of habit and we like comfort, we will seek to find things that will bring us back to the familiar place. What is familiar to me? I'll bring it back. Even if that familiarness caused me harm, caused me hurt, caused me danger, caused me discomfort, caused me sleepless nights, caused me to toss and turn, I'll still want to bring something to me that's familiar, because this is a new place. And I'm not comfortable. I'm not sure of my footing. I'm not sure of myself in this place. So I'll bring to me what is comfortable and familiar, and I'll go back into my prison because I'm comfortable there. It says, she ran to the disciples. What's interesting here is that they were called disciples and not apostles, but that's another message. So she ran to Simon Peter and to the other whom Jesus loved, because surely Mary Magdalene was like, listen, you've walked with this man for 3.5 years. You've walked with him for a long time. Surely you know where he's at. If nobody else knows what's going on, surely you, his people, you, his entourage, you, his tight group, his team, you know, Team Jesus, you, his team, ought to know where he is. Peter, verse 3, therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Now here we have one stooping down and looking in. Saw the clothes lying there, but he didn't go in. Here we have. He saw the clothes lying there, the cloth, excuse me, lying there, yet he did not go in. How many times, people of God, have we been right on the edge of victory, but we refuse to allow our faith to take us in? How many of us have been, excuse me, right on the edge of deliverance, right on the edge of breakthrough, right there at the breaking point, and we can see it, smell it, taste it, but yet we refuse to go in. We want to watch from the sidelines. He said, then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, saw the clothes there and the handkerchief that had been around his head folded into another place. He said, then the other disciple, verse 8, who came to the tomb first, finally went in, and he saw and believed. People of God, so often we have to understand, and we know we've heard this time and time again, but you don't know how important it is that you get free, that you get delivered, that you come into the fullness of your calling, that you come into the fullness of your gifting, that you come into the fullness of understanding and accepting who God called you to be, what your assignment and your purpose is, and moving in that. Because there are people that are waiting and have been waiting for a long time. And because we refuse, you, I, they, some of us, we refuse to take that next step. We'll sit right at the edge of the open tomb and we'll look in, but we'll wait for somebody else to go in prior to us. Now, it's interesting because he arrived first. Why wouldn't he have gone into the tomb first? Yet he didn't move until Peter showed up. Then he went in, and then he saw and believed. Well, why did it take you to get into the tomb to finally see and believe, when immediately when you looked upon it the first time, belief, your faith should have awakened there, and you said, I believe. The Bible says, bless those who believe me and have not seen. Too often, people of God, we wait at the edge of the tomb. Resurrection has come. Revival has come. Awakening has come. But we'll sit and wait. We'll look right on the edge. And we'll wait for somebody else to go in before us. And then we want to jump in right behind them. And then we want to shout, glory, glory, hallelujah. I was here all the while. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When God wanted you to be the first partaker, it's something about being first. He said he went in, verse 8, as I was talking, it says, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture, or in other words, revelation had not come, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own home. Now, they saw that Jesus wasn't there. They saw the stone rolled away, saw the clothes neatly folded up, and instead of celebrating instead of the Lord has risen, his word that he has spoken has come to pass. Oh, what are we about to do here? Instead, they went home. And it's so interesting to me about that, because even now, too often, we have some churches or some congregations where we just come together to have a good time. We come together to make sure that we set a stage and a beautiful performance, making sure everything is right on time. When we come in, we're going to sing three songs. And after the three songs, we're going to give announcements. And then after the announcements, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'm going to come up here and preach my word. And then we're going to have this. And then we're going to have that. And then we're going to go home. But we don't leave room, or I should say that the time management is so tight. And don't get me wrong, there needs to be structure. Don't get me wrong, there definitely needs to be some structure. But while we're putting everything together and bringing everything in order, we do need to leave room for God to come in and do what he has to do. Begin to touch the lives of his people. Begin to shape and remove and build up and tear down. People sometimes need time to just worship and not feel like I need to rush on off of here because, you know, they about to go into the next level, to the next part of service. So I don't really have time to cry this thing, or I don't have time to really go forth and just lay on my face before him. So I got to hurry up and just, you know, do this, and then I got to get back to my seat so I can get my offering. We don't really give way to belief. We don't really give way to faith. We don't really begin to give way to truly accepting and believing his word. We hear his word. Bible does say faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear his word, but we don't hear his word. And we do like the disciples in verse 10. We go our own way and go home and live another life. We walk away Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, or whenever you have your church service. We go home, we come, we hear the word, but there's nothing that ignites our spirits. It's nothing that shakes us. It's nothing that convicts us. It's nothing that challenges us, changes us, causes us to say, God, help me today. Help me to live this right. Help me to pass the test. Help me to come into a full understanding, to know you in the power of your resurrection. The old folks used to say that. We don't say that anymore, because when you say things like that, you're asking, I need to understand. I need to go through. I need to know what you know, experience what you experience. And many of us, we don't want to die to ourselves and die to our dreams and die to our own visions and die to this flesh, as the old folks would say. We don't want to die to that. So we don't want to ask God to do that type of thing. All we want to say is, bless me, bless my family, new job, new car, new house, more money, make me great, make me wonderful, make me exciting and challenging, cause everybody to follow me. That's all I'm asking for. Give me the glory. Give me the glory while I'm here. But there comes a time when you have to fall on your face and say, God, I need you to resurrect some things in my life. I'm reading this word and I realize there's some things that I'm reading in the word that are not active in my life. And I need you to shine, as the song says, shine on me, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. We need the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of this word, to shine on us and reveal our hidden secrets and reveal our stinking thinking and reveal those things that have been laying dormant, that we refuse to let die, the caves that we continuously live in. We need that word. We need the power of his resurrection power. Because let's face it, people of God, it's some things in our lives, in our minds, our mindsets, in our thinking, in our past. It's some things that only the Spirit of God, with his power, the Holy Ghost, the power, the dunamis, the resurrection power is the only thing that can be broken. That power can only break some things in our lives that continuously keep us wrapped, keep us bound, keep us struggling, keep us holding on, keep us hidden. It's too many. It's too many leadership that is leaving off of this earth by their own hand. I remember coming up, you didn't hardly hear about pastors committing suicide. But now it's almost like almost every time you look, somebody's taking their own life. And I do understand, and I'm not making any excuses, I do understand that people are dealing with maybe some chemical imbalances somewhat, somewhere. And if you need the couch and the altar, there's nothing wrong with that. But however, most of all, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. And not only do you need the Holy Spirit, the keeper, in your life, but you also need people around you that will hold you accountable with the actions and to the word of God. You don't need yes men and yes women around you. You need people that will say, listen, I love you. And because I love you, I noticed this issue right here. And the word of God says, and being able, and that leader or whoever that person may be, being able to trust the one that is coming to them with the word without any hidden agendas. And too often we have leaders that wish they could talk to somebody, wish they could share their hearts, wish they can discuss situations and circumstances, but people don't trust folks. And yet we sit in silence and we suffer. We sit in silence and the enemy beats you down. We sit in silence and the enemy uses that to isolate you. And if you know anything about isolation, he will make you feel as though you're all out there by yourself. And no man is an island unto themselves. We all need each other. You need the prayer warriors. You need the men and women of God. You need accountability. We all need each other. You cannot just exist by yourself in this world today. But too often, what we do is that the Lord comes or tries to come. The Spirit of the Lord tries to come. We hear his word, but we have no intention of changing our hearts. We have no intention on believing, and we leave out of our churches the same way that we came in. For many, you can even ask them, well, what did you preach on today? What did your pastor, what did your leader talk on? And I dare you to really ask and challenge somebody with that question. They really won't be able to tell you. Well, he or she talked about but we shouted. Did you see so-and-so? They fell out, child. They fell out, rolled up under the bench. But they can't tell you anything about what God said. And they leave out the same way that they came. And you know something about that? When you constantly do that, your ears, your spiritual ears become dull. When you can come into the house of God and not receive anything out of it. I'm talking about real men and women of God, leaders that God has placed in your life. If you could go into the house of God and not receive anything out of the word, out of the message that's being preached, then you have to ask yourself, has my spiritual hearing become dull? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you think you know it all. You don't know it all. There's always something new in this word. And so we have the disciples returning back to their homes. And I can imagine, this is prophetess interpretation, they saw that he wasn't there. They were deflated in their spirit, and they went home. I can even imagine somebody saying, you know what? I guess all of this was a lie after all. We're going to follow this man, and he ain't even here. He's done. It's over. I can almost imagine somebody saying, well, we had a good run while it lasted. Guess I better start getting my mind together and see how I'm going to take care of my family. They went back. They are already reverting themselves back to what it was. But verse 11 here says this. After they went home, says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. She stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. I guess as she was crying, she said, listen, this man has made such an impact on my life. I can't believe he's gone. I just refuse to believe he's gone. And yet you who have walked with him hand in hand, side by side, you going home defeated and deflated. Where's the hope here? What about the word that he preached to you? What about the teaching? Who's going to carry the vision? It says she stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped, looked down into the tomb. Now, in this passage of scripture, what's interesting to me is that when the disciples looked down, they didn't see anybody. They just saw the clothes. But when Mary looked into the tomb, verse 12 says, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Listen, I never saw this before because I don't know, but I'm seeing it today. In the previous scripture, the two men went into the tomb and saw nothing but clothes. The woman went into the tomb and saw two angels and the clothes and had a conversation. Her faith was already ignited. She refused to let go of what God has already spoke. She refused to let go of what God had already did, what Jesus already did for her. She's like, I can't believe that this is over. This just can't be over. I refuse to accept that this is done and it just finished the way that it finished. There is more to this. I just know his word was too powerful. His messages were too sure. I saw lives being affected and changed. I saw people who were a certain way became a completely different person as they went. I just refuse to believe that it's going to end this way. And because she was at that place, ready to be resurrected, ready to come into a new place, a new level, she ran into the angels. They said, woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now, even though she was talking to these angels, her mindset was still in that state. I got one foot in freedom, one foot in resurrection, one foot and still keeping one foot over here or one hand over here in what's familiar to me. However everybody else has told me that he's dead and I don't see him. I'm assuming somebody just came and took his body away. And then she's wrestling inside saying, but I know what God has done and what he has said to me. And such some of us who struggle because we know what God has said. He's revealed himself to us time and time and time again. And yet there's something that's still in the back of our minds. There's still something we ponder in our hearts to say, but this time he may not come through. They asked her a question. Why are you crying? She says they've taken him away, and I don't know where they've laid him. And 14 says, but now, when she had said this, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. So as soon as the words dropped out of her mouth, as they were dropping out of her mouth, as she was still forming them, Jesus immediately appeared to her. Why? What's interesting is that he could have appeared while the disciples were there. But he chose not. Knew, and those jokers went home defeated, deflated. It was a good run. All right, let's go back to the drawing board. But yet he chose to appear to her because something on the inside of her said, it's got to be more than this. I just refuse to believe that he would lie to me. I just refuse to believe. You know, I can take such, what I'm trying to say tonight is that for many of us, God wants to resurrect some things, and you're right on the edge, not just things. He wants to resurrect situations and circumstances in your life that he promised. Not what man promised you, not what other family and friends promised you, not what you've been trying to promise yourself. He's spoken some situations. He's spoken some promises. He's spoken some blessings. He's spoken some deliverance in your life. And you've been holding on. You've been fighting with your mind and everything around you that said he ain't going to come through. You may have been fighting.